You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer, sitting in for John Hockenberry today. Well, the political foes of Pervez Musharraf are celebrating the Pakistani president who took power in a 1999 coup announced today that he is resigning rather than face impeachment. The country's information minister calls it a, quote, victory of democratic forces, end of quote. For the latest on what's happening and what that means, we're going to go now to Jane Perlez. She's covering this story for our partner, the New York Times, and she joins us from the Pakistani capital of Islamabad. Now, Jane, earlier this hour, in fact, we were hearing tape of people cheering inside cafes in Islamabad when they got the news of the resignation. What kind of picture can you paint for us of what's going on there right now?
Well, I think there is jubilation today. Mr. Musharraf has been the target of a lot of people for a long time. His popularity is probably 15%, maybe even less than Mr. Bush's. So, and he's been a factor of distraction. The new civilian government, which came into power on elections in February, has been unable to concentrate on anything very much except to get rid of him. And today they succeeded.
The coalition government that was bringing these impeachment charges, what unites them beyond the fact of their mutual distrust of Musharraf?
Not terribly much. It's a very good point. And one of the great worries is that once the jubilation today subsides and they try to get down to the business of government, that there may not be too much cooperation, and perhaps there are some, there are some predictions that the government may not last more than a few months.
All right. And so what sort of chaos does that leave things in?
Well, one hopes not too much chaos, but there's already a fair amount of instability here as a Taliban insurgency in the tribal areas pushes down into Pakistan proper. There is actually a lot of clashes going on between the Pakistani paramilitary and the Taliban in the tribal regions as we speak. And so it's a very worrying time for Pakistan.
I want to go back to the deal that allowed Musharraf to make this exit. We've been hearing different reports this morning. How likely do you think it is that he's going to stay in Pakistan?
Well, that's his personal wish to stay in Pakistan, and I think the main worry about that is to give him sufficient protection. My understanding is that he will stay in Pakistan for the short term, I guess to see how things go, and if things don't go too well, then maybe he'll go abroad. But I think now that he's deposed, there will be hopefully a period of, not reconciliation, but moving on to other things. But there is a big danger that there will still be a lot of people out to get a pound of flesh, one might say, because he really made some big mistakes in the last year.
I know that he wanted assurances that he wouldn't be tried on charges of corruption, but, you know, how likely is it really that he's going to escape some sort of trial or some sort of being held responsible for some of his actions?
I doubt there'll be a trial. The party of Nawaz Sharif has said that it would like a trial and would like its pound of flesh. But I think even the Pakistan Muslim League, led by Nawaz Sharif, now that Mr. Musharraf is gone, will probably settle for just his departure.
And talk for a minute about the reaction in Washington to what's going on in Islamabad right now. The relationship between Musharraf, for instance, and President Bush. Musharraf was really able to walk a tightrope there for a long time.
Well, Mr. Bush and Mr. Musharraf enjoyed a very good personal relationship, at least until the last few months. I guess that won't be it won't be the same again. But there are more serious questions, and that question for Washington is how Pakistan tries to fight this insurgency in the tribal region, which is a big threat to the United States. These Taliban fighters pour over the border into Afghanistan and attack American and NATO forces. And that's what Washington would like to stop. And in the last few months, they've been very dissatisfied with Pakistan's efforts to stop that.
Jane, I'm going to ask you to hang on the line as we continue our conversation about what is going on today in Pakistan. A reminder, of course, that we're talking to Jane Perlez, who is the New York Times correspondent in Islamabad. Adora?
I would like to bring Steve Cohen into the conversation, who's a senior fellow in foreign policy studies with the Brookings Institution. Welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it is.
I should add that you're coming to us from Islamabad. Seven years, the U.S. has been banking on Pervez Musharraf to aid in the war on terror. And he had a special relationship with the military, as he was the head of the military, and always had strong relations with the Pakistani intelligence service, which many believe is critical to finding and battling, I should say, this insurgent Taliban. What now?
Well, I think that we made a miscalculation in terms of his commitment and the Pakistan military's commitment to our war in Afghanistan. They were certainly willing to cooperate on al-Qaeda matters, but they were less willing to cooperate on Taliban, because they, in fact, had been supporting Taliban and were using Taliban to balance Indian influence in Afghanistan. I think it took us a long time to realize that, and it wasn't until we were losing troops in Afghanistan to Taliban that we became more aware of the linkage between Pakistan and the Taliban. So I think that our love for Musharraf diminished very quickly after we realized this, and Pakistan would not alter its policy.
So, Steve, what would you guess U.S. strategists in Washington and other parts of the world are thinking about what needs to be done now in fighting the Taliban and al-Qaeda in the Northwest territories of Pakistan?
You know, I think they should think that they should just sit on their hands and wait a while, because this new government, which is going to be a mixture for a while, is probably more committed to dealing with Islamic extremists than Musharraf was, because they've targeted the PPP directly. There's no question that Benazir was killed by one of these people, and they're very concerned about it. So I think they'll take this war more seriously than Musharraf did. But I think the Pakistan Army has to learn how to do counterinsurgency. Right now, there's a major operation in Bajar, one of the Fatah areas, and we'll see how that turns out. But they seem to be far more active and perhaps more effective than they have been in the past. So this is something they're learning how to do, and I don't think we should demand results from them immediately. I think we can afford to wait a little while to see how they do, because it's in their interest to contain these groups and actually to wipe them out in the frontier, lest they come into the major cities of Pakistan.
Talking about the strength of the current Pakistan government, doesn't that really go to Jane's point about the uncertainty of this fragile coalition that's only been working together 6 months, and many say driven by their mutual hatred of Pervez Musharraf?
Well, I would disagree slightly. I think that the one thing these two major parties have, Benazir's PPP and Nawaz Sharif's.
And Jane, I mean, what's your thought on how or what the U.S. should be thinking about now in a world of Pakistan without Pervez Musharraf?
Well, I think the main point is that they have to persuade the Pakistani military that it's in their interest, as well as the United States, to quickly switch its capacity from being a conventional army to a counterinsurgency force. And, of course, that is very difficult. History has shown that it's very difficult to change an army overnight into an effective counterinsurgency force. But that's the bottom line. That's the only way that the Taliban in the tribal areas are going to be defeated. And the airstrikes in the last 10 days in Bajur that Steve talked about, it's unclear what effect they're having. One effect, though, is very clear, that it's driving a lot of civilians out of the area. And there are a lot of casualties. So from our lesson in Vietnam many years ago, one might gather that air power doesn't win an insurgency.
So, Steve, you would make the argument that perhaps this coalition government in Pakistan has as much of a vested interest as the United States in, A, controlling the military, and, B, taking on some of the militants in the Northwest province. So perhaps they have more in common than, say, the U.S. had with Pervez Musharraf.
Well, they may have more in common, but again, as Ms. Perla said, they have to persuade the Pakistan Army that the main enemy is not to the east but to the west, and that's going to be a difficult thing to do. You have an army that's been trained for 60 years now to fight the Indians, and to have them spin on a dime and start taking on fellow Pakistanis, mm-hmm. a radical Islamist, is going to be very, very difficult.
Jane Perlez, thank you very much.
Good morning to you.
Jane Perlez, the New York Times correspondent in Islamabad, and also a big thanks to you, Steve Cohen.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Steve Cohen, a senior fellow in foreign policy studies with the Brookings Institution. Nothing simple there in that region of the world.
No.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.